I want to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. We will finish off at the end of that in just a moment here, and I'll give some comments. And I tell you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Verse 13. If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and here's the phrase, delicious, delightful phrase, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? Some years ago, Luke 11:13 got a hold of me. I have since then found myself captivated by this passage. It's so promising. It's so wonderful. How much more? If you can do good things to each other and your hearts aren't even good, he's saying, how much more will the Lord give the Holy Spirit as a free gift and simply by those who ask him. And so as I look back onto when that verse became precious to my heart, I thought, how could I as a frail, weak individual possibly ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Who's up for that thing? I like the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it was born in upon me, the secret of it. There's, like most things, there's insights and there's secrets, mysteries that are revealed. And there was for this as well. I hadn't heard it before. I hadn't thought of it before. But what did bear upon me, well, here it is, that I was to claim the Holy Spirit, the gift from God. I was to claim it. To claim the gift. It's a free gift. I lay hold of it. I grab hold of it. And I claim the gift from God on the authority of Jesus Christ and testify to having done so. And I don't know how the process for you, how your initial experience with the Spirit, how you were perhaps baptized in the Spirit, perhaps not. But if you look back and say, there was a moment of my life where I met the Holy Spirit, and he broke into my heart. It seems to me that God brings somebody, myself, you, yourself, to the point of utter despair, where you will do anything to get the Holy Spirit functioning in your life. The utter despair, where you don't care how you get this experience as long as you get it. A great thirst coming upon you, a great desire to want more and to be filled to overflowing by the Spirit. And even regardless of what it takes, whatever you have to, at first, you know, we're a little reserved. We might say, someone says, I wouldn't mind you praying for me, but don't tell anybody that we're going to do this. And so you may come forward and I don't want everybody to know that I have a need, so I won't go forward. And after a while, you kind of condition yourself that you want something from the Lord, but you don't want to go out on a limb, because going out on a limb would be risky. But I'm telling you, when you come to that place, we say, I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but I need, with all of my life, I need the power of the Holy Spirit within me. I can't go on without this. And so this was my revelation, that I was to claim the Holy Spirit as I did salvation. It's very, very similar, and you'll see why in just a moment. To claim the Holy Spirit, regardless of what you feel or what you think, how you look, the fact that it just is there, available, but we lay hold of it. I think that's how that works. We reach out and we take hold of God at his word, claiming the gift of the Holy Spirit in dogged committal on Luke chapter 11, verse 13. That's a great verse. How much more will God give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? When we do that, we may still not see visions of heaven or of angels. You may feel nothing. I've prayed for lots of people, and they invited the Holy Spirit to come into their life. And I said, well, what are you experiencing? And nothing. And pray again, nothing. Days later, nothing. And except that they were one day driving home. And while they're driving, the Spirit of God came on. They were just singing a song. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And they were filled with the Spirit, anointed from above. And they were driving. We don't recommend that. You know, best to keep both hands on the steering wheel. But in that case, it didn't have anything to go on. So you may feel nothing. You may be as dry and empty as before. No power or realization of God. No witness of the Holy Spirit. Is simply claiming the Holy Spirit as a gift on the word of Jesus, and that he said, you shall receive power. And so we present ourselves to the Lord. And so this is the power from on high. To tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And this is the Spirit's baptism that I believe that he's talking about here. So this baptism of the Spirit should be viewed a little differently as how we normally view it. It's a new beginning rather than a goal. It's not a matter of arriving. Well, I've arrived now. You know, I've been saved. I know Jesus, my Savior. My sins are forgiven. Oh, and by the way, I'm baptized in the Spirit, and as if that was a goal. There is no snug satisfaction of having arrived. Where people have, I'll cover that in just a little bit here. So one of the things that I found that seems to be necessary, a free gift for all that the Lord is quite prepared to give to us, but it comes out of a thirst. It's not a come to the front, bob up and down, go out the door and have that as the experience. We lay down our Isaacs. There's something about, remember Abraham and was to offer his son, and what a struggle, as you can imagine, I don't even know how he even did that, what he was to do. But he was willing to lay his son on the altar. I think one of the things that brings the blessing of the Lord and the anointing of the Spirit is that when we just lay ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I give it all up to you. I surrender all of it to you. All of my life, everything about, I unquestionably separate myself from everything else. And I know when that happens, when you've done that, when you have laid the most precious thing in the whole world in your life, and you say, Lord, even if I have to go to Africa, or even if I have to go to Swift Current, if it's come to that, then so be. Let it be. Because all I know, God, is that I need some power big time in my life. And I think the Lord, I don't know if he acted in Genesis, that's Genesis chapter 22 about Isaac. But the Isaac is that which is important in your life. God can put his finger on anything, but he puts it on the right thing. And he says, in effect, because you have done this thing. I don't find a verse for it, but I think it's true. Because you have done this thing, I will bless you, says the Lord. And I know this as a fact that a full surrender to God brings the anointing and brings the blessing. It's just as if the Lord says, I see what you have done towards me. Now you watch what I will do upon you. I will anoint you for the days ahead. I will fill you to overflowing. Because you have done this, I will do that. And I think many times when we sit kind of all smug and comfortable with our Isaac still beside us and our Isaac not on the altar, I think that there is a time there when the Lord just finally, he speaks to us so clearly and says, is this your all? If this is your all, then so be it. It brings the anointing. It brings the blessing. There's just something about it that does that. I can't explain it all. But I know this, that there are these two great gifts of God. And I think maybe there's more. There's gifts of the Spirit. But there are two marvelous gifts from the Lord. And when we see it in how they work in tandem together, the first one is the first free gift of salvation. When you meet somebody and they are open to the Lord and they want to give their hearts to Christ, what do? Well, we tell them about this free gift of salvation, that if they would yield their lives to the Lord would save them. And we know, if you want to see where that is really spelled out well, is Romans chapter 5, verse 15 to verse 17. Five times in two verses does he say this gift of salvation, gift of salvation, gift of salvation, gift of salvation. Mentioned five times. So Jesus dies on the cross. We open our hearts and we receive, we tell people, say, as you accept Jesus as your Savior, now we thank the Lord that this has happened in your life and that you have received this wonderful gift and forgiveness of sins and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, washed in the blood of the Lamb, free salvation, oh, boundless salvation, deep ocean of love. And we say, and there'll be a day coming down where you'll want to get baptized. But this is the free gift the Lord gives to you. Will you receive it? Well, we don't give any attachments to it. We just say this is the Lord wants to give you himself. He died for you. Now he wants to come and live inside of you. And so we open our hearts to him and he does just that. And it's free. There's no cost. He paid the cost of it all. Free salvation for everybody. That's the first gift. No one else has ever given us eternal life, but Jesus did. And this great, great gift. Now, there's a second one. And this is the one that's not mentioned very much. And yet it ought to be, because it's equal in its magnitude in our hearts. It is the gift, yes, that's right, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift number one, the gift of salvation. Gift number two, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Spirit of God. And this is what the gospel, we present Christ, we present Jesus. And we say, this is what you need. You need Jesus. And as they come and they receive the Lord, how wonderful to say, have you ever been baptized in the Spirit? And they, I don't even know what it is exactly. But let me tell you what it is. And we explain a little bit so they have an understanding of it if they don't already. And we say, just as, and this is the beauty of it. We are able to say, just as you received by faith salvation, so now receive the Holy Spirit by faith in the baptism of the Spirit. It's identical. It's absolutely identical. If the Lord could give you salvation, he can give you the Holy Spirit. How much more will he give unto you? Wow. Isn't that blessed? Good news. That's the second free gift. And I know that from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Wonderful passage. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely guaranteed. That's the absolute promise that you will receive. And I think the progression is that as I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this Holy Spirit, but I can't let go of Isaac. And I think you'll find yourself high and dry as the Lord waits for you to come in utter despair. It's a good despair, but it's an utter despair. And you finally say, I don't care about my pride now. I don't care about anything. I just care about you. And you've put this great thirst within me to have more of you. And so, Lord, and then we encourage that person to reach out and to ask, what must I do? Ask. Just ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't something where you're watching television and you're tired of the station, so you do something else, and there's kind of a casualness to it, but no heartfelt. That's what I have witnessed over the years, that sometimes there seems to be little thirst. Bob up to the front, come to the front, kneel down, get up and go out the door, talk to your friends on the way out for a while. I think when you see the Lord preparing you for greater things, you're going to say, I need to linger here. I need to immerse myself in Jesus. I need to spend some time. I can't just rush in, rush out, and then say, well, no, it didn't happen for me. It didn't work for me. Oh, it will work. Why? Because it's an absolute promise. How much more will He give you the Holy Spirit? See, if you don't receive it, then something is wrong. Well, we know it's not God's end of it. It must be my end of it. And it almost always, not always, but almost always is. It's at my end that I'm clinging desperately to my rights and my, what if the Lord doesn't want me to get this or that? And we wrestle. We wrestle with the Lord until finally, as I've said, you just can't take anymore. Say, I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need this gift of the Spirit. I'm ready and willing, and Lord, you just do whatever you want to do in my life. And so the question is, how is that received? How do we appropriate it to our life? I think we appropriate it simply by, like we did salvation, by faith. I know that from Galatians chapter 3. He said, how did you receive this? He said, was it not by the Spirit? Galatians 3:2, Galatians 3:14, Acts chapter 2 talks about the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, I read that. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. In every case, it was received by faith. Not necessarily any, even speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues, but I know lots of people that so far haven't. So I just find myself saying, well, the Lord in His good time, don't worry about that. That's going to be, it'll be taken care of. You just focus on the one who baptizes in the Spirit. That's who you focus on. That's who I need to focus on. So it's by faith. And you don't have any, someone said, well, I shook. Well, I don't see shaking as necessarily necessary. It's just, you, for some, perhaps. I know people say, well, more people get baptized in the Spirit before after midnight than before. And that's only because we didn't trust the Lord earlier in the meeting. But I get what they're saying. And I think because many times people have been just waiting on the Lord, and the Lord has filled them to overflowing. I've likened it to within and upon. I learned that from Dr. G.S. McLean many years ago, and I always found it quite helpful. That before we're born-again believers, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's not in us, necessarily, or nor upon us, but He's with us. He pushes us and nudges us and whispers to us and talks to us. And we're conscious of it, right? We just said, thank you for... And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with Him, but it was not an abiding gift. And so now, as He's with us, pushing us, presenting Christ as the object of our faith, and as that happens, He pushes, and we kind of marvel at it until finally we give our hearts to the Lord in salvation, and he comes into us now, as He was with, and now in convicting me of sin, working on my heart and my life, and then lastly, upon, same Holy Spirit, different effects. The upon is for power and for service. With is to let Him know that that He's working in our lives and talking to us. In, He comes to live inside you. But upon, He's come to anoint you, to anoint me for power and for service. And I thought, what a wonderful God that would do all that, and I come just seeking His gift. Gift of salvation, gift of the Holy Spirit. I think that to be saved and then to be filled, there is a progression to it. you must be saved before you can be filled. Right? I think you can't, that's what comes first. Salvation comes first. The free gift of salvation comes before the free gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we're invited to receive the fullness of the Spirit. Just to receive the fullness. Regardless of attitude, regardless of what your experience has been, is just to say, Lord, just as you gave me the wonderful gift of salvation when Jesus hung on that cross, I now receive the Holy Spirit in that same faith that you would baptize me and fill me. And I can remember the very first time that I ever spoke in tongues. Now, that may be a whole new phrase. You say, what? I never heard of that. Well, you can read the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 would do a pretty good job. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. It talks about people receiving the baptism of the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. And but still, at that, no matter what you feel, because I remember as a I'd been anointed at a Bible camp earlier, and that was not quite as a positive experience. There was too many people willing to put their hands on my head. But I wanted just to survive the event. You know, you have to be around these circles to really appreciate that. But crazy things. Now, of course, we don't have any manifestations, but we used to have crazy ones. Now we just for some reason, doesn't seem to be the same. But there was just people who said, well, I received the Spirit back in 57, and this is what I did, so I'm going to do this to you. And they do something to you that somebody's going to lift up your hands, and somebody's going to do something else until finally you just want to escape the meeting and say, deliver me, Lord, from well-meaning people. They mean well, but they're trying to force something that happened in their experience. And I don't think it can be done. Receiving the fullness. These are wonderful words of Jesus. You say, would he give me the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm quite convinced. Absolutely convinced. As much as if you said, would Jesus give me salvation, free salvation? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? Absolutely. You have any doubt? I have no doubt whatsoever. I no doubt that if you ask the Lord to save you, he will save you right here today. No, absolutely not a moment of hesitation, because I'm so convinced of it. I've seen everyone who's ever come, right, who's ever come to the Lord. And they said, well, Owen, will you pray with me? I'd like to receive Jesus. Oh, of course you will. I'd be glad to do that. It'd be wonderful to do that. Love to pray with you. Why? Because I know the Lord will meet them at that point of their need, and they will give their heart to Christ. Now, it's the same faith and the same yielding to the Lord. Say, Lord, just as I received your salvation by faith, now I'm asking for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to fill me and baptize me. Now, it can happen here today. It can happen in your car. It can happen in your bedroom. It can happen just about anywhere. I know people that were washing dishes, and they just began to pray, and they began to sing, and then the tears just flowed down their cheeks, and they were filled with the Spirit of God while they're doing dishes. So, I mean, how amazing is that? But that's how sure we are. These two great gifts. And I know the first one, because I know Jesus is my Savior. But the second one is available for all. Because you do need power. It's not optional. Where the Lord is going to take you, you need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit. There would be great demands in the days ahead. Great needs. That we can't be kind of casual about this. We need the full, whatever the Lord is giving, let's get under that spout. Right, where the glory runs out. That's where, and it's so necessary. It's not something, oh, that'd be nice. No, it'd be absolutely crucial. So you salvation followed immediately, as immediately as it can be. Maybe right after water baptism, there'd be a thought. Right after water baptism, Easter Sunday. But as soon as possible, We'd say, have you received the baptism of the Spirit? Oh, no, I haven't. Would you like to? Would you like to receive this good gift? You ask him, and then we'll pray over you. And, okay, what do I do? What did you do in salvation? I just believed. Mm-hmm. Anything else? No. Right, you just believed. And did you receive? Yes, Jesus came into my heart. Good. Same thing. Now ask him for the Holy Spirit to baptize you and anoint you and to fill you and to bless you, and that out of you would come a river of life. You see, if the baptism of the Spirit does anything, if he does anything in your life, it makes Jesus more real. Isn't that true? It just makes Jesus more real. I don't know why or how it works. It's wonderful. And I can't be without it. I must have the fullness of the Spirit of God. Not little bits, not bits and pieces, but all that God's giving out. And, it's young and old. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. This is a gift for all. And how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? And you say, well, how do I know the assurance? You claim it by faith. That if you ask the Lord to baptize you here this morning, you're right where you're sitting, and you can have your own little coronation, and you bow your heart and say, Lord, I so need the Spirit. I'm grateful for salvation, that I'm going to heaven, but I need your anointing. The devil is alive and well. I need you, Lord. I need to be renewed. I need all, so that, you see, you can't have a Spirit-filled church. There's no such thing. All you can have is Spirit-filled people. There's no church that's Spirit-filled. There's just people. And if enough people who are Spirit-filled hang out in that place, in that setting, there will be a breakout. There will be something good happening, simply because there's those people have brought a freshness with them into the church. I know that we're often worried about manifestations and things and happening. That'd be our last. We can always handle that stuff. The main thing is that we would be filled. And it doesn't have to be. The key of it is don't worry about what you receive or didn't receive. Just by faith, say, Lord, as you gave me salvation as a free gift, I ask you now to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Just that simple. Just that simple. I receive by faith this glorious gift of the Spirit. By faith. I don't know if I'll feel anything or not. It doesn't matter. I'm laying hold of it. I'm claiming it. I'm claiming this experience. And I know that it can't be any other way, because it's the Lord himself telling us this. That we're not to be afraid. Would a father give a scorpion? And it gives all these, seek, ask, knock, right? There's a lot of stuff going on in that passage. He said, do this and receive. Would that be, this is that way, and this is that way. He said, well, how much? And he said, how much more? How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And that's the criteria, to those that ask. I have his promise that I'll put a little pre-promise to it. I think my Isaac has to go. That thing that I cherish, that thing that I hang on to, that sacred thing in my life, I have to lay that down, because it gets in the way of what the Lord wants to do in my heart. And so I think that's just, you may just be sitting here, next week here for that matter, and the Lord will just tap you on the shoulder and say, about Isaac, have you laid your all down at the altar? Have you laid your all down? As much as you know, you say, Lord, thank you for the altar of God, and here I am. I need the Spirit. I need the Spirit. And it's so simple, because it's just like salvation. It's free. It's a gift. And you don't have to do anything except receive it. Say, does everybody speak in tongues? Not apparently. I wouldn't worry about that. Let that be. If that's frosting on the cake, I find it valuable in my life, but that's just me. But I know, I remember hearing Nicky Gumbel talk about that, and he said, you just let the Lord decide what happens. But the main thing is to come and receive the gift of the Spirit, if you haven't already. Or you find yourself absolutely dry, that it's kind of, your Christian life is really tight and dry and dusty and musty and crusty and any other words I can fit in there. Because that can be that way. How many know that? You can be, say, boy, if the world is depending on my experience, I'm finished here because I'm so dry and there's not a flow coming through me. I found that the baptism of the Spirit, it has one really wonderful component to it, and that is it keeps you effervescent. I'm anticipating to be bubbly in my spirit, in my inner man, right till I'm an old guy. Right? You mean this is what the Spirit can do, right? There are people that have more life than you have, and they're a lot older, but they're full of the Spirit, and they're effervescent, right? You just say, "Wow, how could that be? They've been drinking at the fountain." And so right up till forever. So there's no limitations. Young person can come, an older person, and just to receive the Spirit of the Lord by faith, claiming the Holy Spirit, and refusing to be saddled with anything else, just absolutely laying hold. And so that's the revelation I had on it, that, there's what I had not done before. I had not claimed. I assumed that something might happen, but I didn't lay hold. And this is what I think, this is the secret part of it. And then let the Lord decide all the things that can accompany it, the things that accompany the Spirit. But all I know, and I'm sure this is what your same experience, it, matter of fact, I could go say this. If I was to look back for many, many years, way back, 50 years ago, and somebody said, what have you found helpful? What do you find that has gone the distance, that it's not crazy and weird and flaky? It's just, what have you found that is an anchor in it? It's just good to have, and you believe in it, and it's been helpful. I can say this to you this morning. Two things. Number one, the message of grace, and the gift of salvation. That's the one thing I've never had to adjust for one second. The message of the finished work of the cross. That stays. That's not up for debate. It has been one of the best salvation to know the Lord. So wonderful. But there's the second thing. And that is the baptism of the Spirit. I can again say to you with honesty of my heart, this has been a good gift. This is keeps you vibrant and full of Him and excitement, and you want to pray, and it's just good. It's just really a good. Those two things, I can absolutely recommend. Other things I'm not quite sure of. I'd say, well, I'm not sure about that or this or that, but I am sure about this, that the message of the grace of the Lord through the blood of Jesus. And then the second thing of the baptism of the Spirit. Knowing that I've never had to apologize afterwards. That's just those things. Other things are, they're okay, but we're not quite sure if we. But this, I've seen over time. And I've seen the difference that salvation makes, of course. But I've also seen the difference that the baptism of the Spirit makes. It's very valuable. This is not just some kind of religious thing. This is life. This is what the Spirit... He said, He's come. He's come that we might have life and have it more abundant. But the Spirit of God working in you, working in me. And I find myself saying, now, Lord, more. Fill me. Don't let me get dry here. but touch my heart and my life so that I can keep on, you know, motoring for the Lord. Because that's going to be the greatest need ahead. Where God is taking you, you need to prepare yourself for it. You need to spend time just waiting on the Lord, blessing Him and praising Him. Why? So that you are filled, because He's going to use you. And I find that the Lord uses people who have been asking to be filled. It just seems to overflow. It just comes in, and they're thirsty, and they're used of the Lord in a great way. Great way. It's wonderful, actually. I was talking to my old Anglican buddy, Ed Hurd, yesterday, day before yesterday, and we were talking about just the value of the baptism of the Spirit, this wonderful gift. And even before I had finished my sentence, he was already praying. We were on the phone. I mean, he was already praying that I would be anointed today. You have to know Ed to know that. He, no sense waiting for wasting any time here, right? Why don't I just come and lay hands on you? So we can learn from the Anglicans, can't we? We can learn from them, because especially the charismatic ones that are very much in the Lord. Amen. I think I've preached enough. But I think it would be kind of crazy if we didn't just want to pray. And you can just ask the Lord yourself. I don't mind praying for you, but you can just ask the Lord yourself. How much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? That's all you need. He's promised to meet that need. And so I thought, I know we have the traditional kind of things that we do, but maybe we should do something a little bit different. Maybe I'll just go and sit on the edge here. Maybe somebody else wants to come and kneel over here. Maybe somebody wants to face the chairs that way. I don't know. I don't think that matters so much. But it was just before you walk out of this building, it would just be a chance for the Lord to talk to you. And if you feel your faith is, or if you can receive by faith the Spirit, then don't go home empty. Just say, Lord, on the authority of your word, on the basis of the word of God and your words, I ask you to baptize me now. I lay hold of it in Jesus' name. Or you can sit right where you are. Cam's just creating an atmosphere that it's okay to linger for a few minutes. Amen. Let's stand. This coming week, why don't you, whenever you're having your devotional time, why don't you just pray for more power? It's not an egotistical thing. It's power to do kingdom work. And just ask Him this week. Just find yourself just focusing on that to see what He might reveal to you. And just to put His arms around you and say, this is what I want to do in your life. So Heavenly Father, we thank You that just as we received salvation is a free gift from the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the free gift of the Spirit. How we need both. Thank You. Talk to each of us. We thank You for Your presence here today. We love You. We love You, Lord. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The coffee's good. It's out in the patio. I hope you can linger a little bit and just enjoy the fellowship. Thank you for being here this morning.